This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. Sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas, and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life. Or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. No matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your baby's mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Get your baby butt in the best fitting diaper. Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Tonight, tens of millions of Americans swelter in triple-digit temperatures as Tropical Storm Harold hits Texas, bringing flash flooding and possible tornadoes. Here are tonight's headlines.
We're talking heat index values 120, even 130 in some cases.
The double weather threat tonight as a heat dome bakes a third of the country. Plus, the developing situation as Tropical Storm Harold makes landfall.
The big cleanup has begun, and neighbors are helping neighbors dig out.
And out west, hundreds of patients moved after a hospital loses power. And look at this, sparks fly as a plane lands during Tropical Storm Hillary. A tragic start to the school year after a bus full of kids is run off the road, killing one and injuring more than 20. The status tonight on their conditions.
Former President Trump says he will travel to Georgia Thursday to face charges of trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election in the state.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows asked for an extension to surrender, and the district attorney basically slapped that down.
We're all watching. The world is watching.
Maui's mayor faces backlash for his role during the fire. Our new reporting as recovery efforts enter a new phase.
In New York City, a new center has just opened up on Randall's Island. It's expected to house up to 3,000 migrants.
This is a sign of a crisis, a greatest, I believe, humanitarian crisis the city has ever witnessed.
Sha'Carri Richardson has won the world title!
And Sha'Carri Richardson becomes the world's fastest woman.
I had to come with it, because they're going to come with it. So I was prepared, and I'm grateful.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday night. We begin tonight with a 1-2 punch of extreme weather. From Tropical Storm Harold slamming Texas to the sweltering heat across the middle of the country. Thousands of homes and businesses are without power tonight after Tropical Storm Harold made landfall south of Corpus Christi with sustained winds of 50 miles per hour. The ninth named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season is bringing heavy rains, flooding, strong winds, and storm surge along the coast. Elsewhere, it's dangerous and excessive heat causing problems from Minnesota to Florida. More than 140 million Americans are under heat alerts nearly half the states. Triple-digit feels-like temperatures topped 110 degrees in places like Kansas City and Minneapolis. We have team coverage of this wild weather, and reporter Matt Doherty from our CBS Houston affiliate, KHOU, will start us off from Corpus Christi. Good evening, Matt.
Hi, good evening, Nora. Tropical Storm Harold came ashore today with a vengeance, packing wind gusts of more than 60 miles an hour. All around me, those Gulf waters continue to wash ashore. People are stranded and roads are flooded. Harold is pummeling parts of Texas. The storm unleashed wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour as it made landfall this morning, unleashing torrents of rain on the Lone Star State.
We're in downtown Corpus Christi right now. Tropical Storm Harold made landfall in North Padre Island about half an hour ago. We're about 300 yards from the beach, which is up there in that direction. As you get closer, you can see the tide rising and those waves. Back here, we're not seeing a whole lot of flooding in Corpus Christi. What we are seeing is a whole lot of tree damage, like you can see right there.
Hours later, roads leading to the State Aquarium in Corpus Christi were flooded, leaving some stranded.
And we're not standing down yet.
Governor Greg Abbott says Texas has deployed emergency responders to monitor the storm as it moves across the state. In the Midwest, the heat is the issue. Roxana Severi is in Chicago.
People have come out here to the shore of Lake Michigan to cool off and enjoy the breeze as temperatures rise. An excessive heat warning goes into effect tomorrow when this region could feel as warm as 115 degrees.
The sun is just a little tense.
Conditions here could get dangerous, especially for schools without adequate air conditioning. Some are starting late or moving to remote learning.
It makes it a hard environment for the kids to learn in.
In Kansas City today, feels like temperatures soared to 116, and in Minneapolis, 113.
Back here in Corpus Christi, more than 9,000 customers remain without power. And you can see behind me, those waves are still crashing ashore. We're still feeling some intermittent rains. And, of course, those wind gusts continue to beat down on Corpus Christi. Nora, back to you.
Matt Doherty, thank you. We are tracking the storm and that extreme heat. So let's bring in meteorologist Chris Warren from our partners at the Weather Channel. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Nora. Harold now a tropical depression, seeing winds with this system still around 35 miles an hour, still some stronger gusts possible. Center of the system well inland, some of the heaviest rain expected to fall south or west of the border here in Mexico. Meanwhile, the reason we saw Harold say so far to the south is this area of high pressure, this heat dome associated with it. Firmly in place with some extreme heat, excessive heat warning stretching from Louisiana all the way up to Minnesota, where tomorrow temperatures will be in the triple digits. And Nora, Davenport could feel like 117.
That is too hot. Thank you, Chris. Now, a heartbreaking tragedy in Ohio. On the first day of school, an elementary school student was killed and more than 20 others hurt when their bus was struck by a minivan and flipped over. And as CBS's Nancy Chen reports, only 8 states require a seatbelt on school buses, and Ohio isn't one of them.
It was morning pickup at the start of a new year at elementary school when a bus in Springfield, Ohio crashed, rolling to its side.
Report of a school bus auto accident, buses on its top, down in the embankment, children on the bus.
Police say the driver of a minivan traveling the opposite direction crossed into the path of the bus, full of 52 students.
That school bus attempted to take evasive action and drive onto the shoulder, but they still made contact.
One child was killed when the bus overturned.
There was one student that succumbed to fatal injuries at the scene of the crash. They were ejected from the school bus.
23 other students were hurt, including one seriously injured. Authorities say the school bus did not have seatbelts.
It's a tragic incident, and we ask for space and patience and time.
The driver of the minivan, as well as a passenger, were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Stunned parents rushed to reunite with their children nearby.
After it happened, I seen it on its side, and they were putting kids on stretchers. They had, like, leg braces and neck braces and stuff like that. It's not something that you would want to prepare yourself for.
Nearly all of the injured children have been released from the hospital. Police tell us there could be charges ahead. The crash remains under investigation, Nora.
Nancy Chen, thank you. We are just learning new details about Donald Trump's plans to surrender to authorities in Georgia. Sources tell CBS News the former president will turn himself in Thursday night. He's facing charges related to his attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. CBS's Nicole Killian reports some of Trump's 18 co-defendants began surrendering today.
John Eastman, one of the alleged architects of former President Trump's strategy to use false electors to overturn the 2020 election, was among the first to surrender at the Fulton County Jail.
I am confident that when the law is faithfully applied in this proceeding, all of my co-defendants and I will be fully vindicated.
Eastman was one of two to turn themselves in today. In testimony to the January 6th committee last year, former White House lawyer Eric Hirschman said Eastman called him the day after the Capitol attack to discuss challenging the Georgia results. This was the advice Hirschman gave him.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
So far, a dozen of the 19 co-defendants have secured bond agreements with District Attorney Fani Willis, including the former president, who has a cash bond set at $200,000. Trump said Willis thought I was a flight risk to fly far away, maybe to Russia, 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 share a Gold Dome suite with Vladimir. Trump also can't communicate with the other defendants except through attorneys, and he's not allowed to intimidate witnesses, including on social media. The former president confirmed he will travel to Atlanta Thursday to be arrested. Security is being ramped up outside of the jail as the sheriff warned of a hard lockdown ahead of Trump's arrival. Late today, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows asked for an extension to surrender, but he was rejected by the DA, who said she would file warrants in the system for his arrest after noon Friday.
Some of the defendants are facing mounting legal bills and have indicated the former president may not pick up the tab, so they're now trying to raise funds online. Nora?
Nicole Killian, thank you. Tonight, a massive cleanup is underway in Southern California following Tropical Storm Hillary. The record rain and flooding left entire neighborhoods buried under mountains of mud and debris, likely causing billions of dollars in damage. CBS's Carter Evans reports from Cathedral City, where residents are still digging out.
Tonight, it's neighbor helping neighbor in desert communities walloped by Hillary.
These guys are heroes.
This neighborhood in Cathedral City had more than 3 feet of mud in the streets. And right behind the heavy equipment, volunteers with shovels in hand to help dig out.
We're all taking care of each other. We got three cars out just a little bit ago, which was a really big deal.
The storm dumped more than 3.5 inches of rain here, funneling mud right into this low-lying community.
I have to say the response of the community members helping one another has been unbelievable.
Mayor Rita Lamb says the mud and muck trapped people in their homes, and rescuers had to get creative using a front loader to carry a group of seniors to safety.
Talk about thinking out of the box, and those residents are all safely relocated, and they're safe and sound, and those pictures, you know, they were worth a thousand words.
In the mountains of San Bernardino, others are still struggling to clear mud, rocks, and more debris that came crashing down. We're also learning about an airline scare during the storm. Sparks flew as an Alaska Airlines flight made a hard landing at John Wayne Airport in Southern California. The landing gear failed. And as the city of Los Angeles recovers from Hillary, first responders had to evacuate hundreds of patients, some on ventilators, after a backup generator failed at a downtown hospital. It's still not clear what caused the power outage.
Now, officials here in Cathedral City say it's simply too early to estimate the cost of all the damage from Hillary. They're going to be digging out here for weeks. Now, this storm brought with it a tremendous amount of moisture and set rainfall records in four states. Nora?
You can see they're busy at work. Carter Evans, thank you. Well, a terrifying scene in Pakistan today. A cable car was left dangling nearly 1,000 feet over a river when one of its mile-long cables broke. Inside were 8 people, including 6 children. The world watched as rescuers in a helicopter worked feverishly to free them. CBS's Ramey and Asensio now on how this delicate operation played out.
It was supposed to be a routine morning trip to school between two mountains. But when a cable snapped, 6 children between the ages of 11 and 15 and 2 adults almost plunged to their death. Villagers here in Pakistan's remote northwest mountains helplessly watched as rescuers dangling from helicopters in high winds strained to reach them. The downwash from a rescue chopper shook the car violently, threatening to send it crashing into the ground nearly 1,000 feet below. This man's brother and son were inside. If the government is so helpless, he said, then it should seek help from another country. Pakistani military commandos did airlift the first child out. This jerry-rigged machine, one of countless across the mountains, meant to make life easier. But often made from scrap metal and poorly maintained, they have led to death. After night fell, authorities suspended air rescue. But on the ground, operations never stopped. Officials and locals deploying a zip line to the car and pulling everyone inside to safety. Pakistan's prime minister has demanded inspections of all makeshift cable cars in the country. Rami Innocencio, CBS News, London.
Turning now to the Maui wildfires, where the death toll stands at 115. The search for the 100 still unaccounted for entered a new phase today. Officials say they have gone through all the single-story residential properties in Lahaina and are now focusing on larger buildings. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti has been on Maui for 2 weeks and reports tonight there's new questions about the mayor's response.
As the search intensifies, images from before the fire show the complications cadaver dog teams face as they comb through what's left in the disaster zone. Tonight, the focus is on multi-story residential and commercial properties, areas officials say with the highest population of the missing. Around 850 people are still unaccounted for.
We're hurting because not only we've lost our historical places and our homes, but we've lost our loved ones.
And tonight, there's new concern over how aware Maui County officials were of the conditions on the ground August 8th, in part because of this interview Mayor Richard Bisson gave to local station KITV just after 6 p.m.
I'm happy to report that the road is open to and from Lahaina.
But in fact, by this point, the fire had already spread into downtown Lahaina.
Oh my God, I can't see anything. We're surrounded by fire.
The mayor seemingly unaware that much of downtown was ablaze, and many residents were either caught in or were fleeing the flames.
We have reports of structures, older buildings that have been burned in Lahaina. Our update is actually going to come in at about 7 p.m.
And late to comprehend just how devastating the fires actually were.
And we've reached out to the mayor's office for comment and have not heard back. The state attorney general's office is now investigating, and we have heard back from them. They tell me they are, quote, advising state actors to refrain from commenting on this pending investigation, Nora.
Jonathan Vigliotti with that new reporting. Thank you very much. Tonight, leaders of some of the nation's largest cities are sounding the alarm due to a rapid growth of asylum seekers, calling it a humanitarian crisis. New York City is struggling to find housing for the more than 100,000 migrants that have passed through the city since last spring. CBS's Jerika Duncan reports the city is demanding that the Biden administration help ease the burden.
This migrant center on New York City's Randall's Island is the latest answer to the city's overcrowding crisis. It is set to house 3,000 migrants. Mayor Eric Adams.
Is this a sign of progress, or does this speak to the humanitarian crisis your city is facing?
This is not a sign of progress. This is a sign of a crisis, a greatest, I believe, humanitarian crisis the city has ever witnessed.
It's been difficult for the city to find space, leaving at one point dozens waiting outside and even sleeping on sidewalks at the Roosevelt Hotel that has now been converted into an intake center. New York City projects it could spend up to $12 billion on the crisis over the next 3 years. The situation so dire, the mayor is also considering using a closed federal prison as an option.
Everything is on the table. I want to be clear on that. Everything is on the table because when people come here, the last stop is for someone to sleep on the street.
The mayor wants the Biden administration to intervene and grant migrants the right to work.
What would you say to President Biden if he's listening right now?
The precursor to sleep, to enjoy the American dream, is the right to work. The right to work. Let them work.
While the White House emphasized in a statement to CBS News its commitment to working with cities, it says Congress needs to approve additional funding. Jerika Duncan, CBS News, New York.
A young child was attacked by a bear outside New York City. The details on what happened next.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Tonight, a 7-year-old boy is recovering from injuries after being attacked by a bear. This happened north of New York City in Westchester County. Police officers shot and killed the bear. Officials say it is now being tested for rabies. The child was rushed to a hospital, but his injuries are said to be minor. And one person was killed in an overnight explosion in North Carolina that leveled the home of an NFL player. The victim has been identified as Robert Farley. That's the father of Tennessee Titans cornerback Caleb Farley. One other person was taken to the hospital with injuries. Caleb Farley was not at home at the time. A fire official believes there was a gas leak at the house. An American sprinter makes history. Her message of resilience. That's next. An American sprinter now has bragging rights as the fastest woman in the world. Sha'Carri Richardson won the gold in the 100 meters at the World Championships yesterday, finishing in 10.65 seconds, edging out two Jamaican sprinters. Richardson hopes to make the Olympic team next year. She missed the Tokyo Games 2 years ago when she tested positive for marijuana. After the race, she said, quote, "I'm not back. I'm better." Well, congratulations. A rare sighting in the animal kingdom that you have to see to believe. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Finally tonight, something that hasn't been spotted in more than a half a century, a spotless giraffe. That's right. Take a look at this rare, one-of-a-kind, adorable baby born July 31st at the Bright Zoo in the town of Limestone, Tennessee. Officials say she is believed to be the only solid-colored giraffe on the planet. The last recorded spotless giraffe was in Tokyo in 1972. Zoo officials are asking for the public's help in naming their new superstar. Okay, we kind of had a vote in the control room, and we decided on Plain Jane. What do you think? That's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert. And I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.